AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. An NBA coach and player are among 30 people charged in two separate schemes.
These defendants, which include former professional athletes, used high-tech cheating technology to steal millions of dollars from victims in underground poker games that were secretly fixed.
U.S. Attorney Joseph Nocella says Portland Trailblazers coach Chauncey Billups is charged in those rigged poker games backed by organized crime.
Once the game was underway, the defendants fleeced the victims out of tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars per game.
And Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier is charged in a sports betting operation that relied on inside NBA information. FBI Director Kash Patel.
The fraud is mind-boggling. It's not hundreds of dollars. It's not thousands of dollars. It's not tens of thousands of dollars. It's not even millions of dollars. We're talking about tens of millions of dollars in fraud and theft and robbery.
A CBS News Special Report. I'm Steve Kathan.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. The federal shutdown will affect food share recipients as of November 1st, in addition to already planned federal reductions in funding. Lisa Hale has more.
In July, President Donald Trump approved funding cuts to SNAP programs when he signed H.R. 1 into law. Those cuts take effect on November 1st. On top of that, the federal government shutdown is affecting the people who need SNAP benefits the most. Oshkosh Area Community Pantry Director Ryan Rasmussen.
Based on the government shutdown, starting November 1st, all SNAP benefits are cut. So no new monies will be given to any SNAP recipients. And also, for the first time, any outstanding balances that folks have could be in jeopardy.
Meanwhile, a press release from Governor Tony Evers' office on Wednesday said that the Wisconsin Food Share Program will run out of funding in 9 days due to the federal government shutdown. That program provides food assistance for Wisconsin children, families, and senior citizens.
Governor Tony Evers has signed a bill meant to bolster EMS staffing in Wisconsin. One of them reimburses students for their EMS classes taken at Wisconsin technical colleges. Another sends additional funding to those programs. On top of that, these bills allow rule exceptions. Those exceptions allow joint departments to use more money from villages, towns, and cities. The bills also create a pilot program for 911 video calling to allow dispatchers to better respond to emergencies. Data from the National Emergency Medical Services Information System shows EMS and paramedics responded to more than 60 million calls across the country last year. In 2020, that number was about 43 million. That means in 4 years, calls for EMS response have jumped by 38%. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
The Bucks win the opener. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks with a 133-120 win over the Wizards in Milwaukee. Giannis scoring 37 points, the most in his career for the first game of the season. NFL, Packers defensive end Micah Parsons named NFC Defensive Player of the Week after three sacks Sunday against the Cardinals. This week, the Packers play the Steelers in Pittsburgh on Sunday Night Football. Jordan Love asked, when's the last time he heard from Aaron Rodgers?
Now, we texted a couple weeks ago.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah, we shoot each other texts every now and then. You know, a lot of it is just saying good luck throughout the season. You know, A-Rod texted me and it's great to be able to hear from him.
Aaron Rodgers with reporters in Pittsburgh.
What are your emotions heading into Sunday?
Just excited about the game. It would feel different if it was going back to Green Bay. But I have a lot of love for the organization. But, you know, if we were playing Lambeau, that would be a little different feeling for sure.
That's Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Real news, great conversation, right to your inbox. Subscribe to WXCO's newsletter and never miss the stories right here in Wausau.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Your Thursday afternoon will feature a few sprinkles, some clouds, and highs in the mid-40s. Northwest winds just a bit breezy. In the overnight, skies turning partly cloudy. Temperatures will drop back into the mid-20s. Quite a bit of sunshine Friday. Highs near 50. It's 42 at our studios.
Friday night, it's the start of the playoffs for the Wausau West High School football team. The Warriors will travel to Heartland to take on Arrowhead in a Division I, Level I playoff. Hear all the action live from the Clover Belt Credit Union broadcast booth starting with the pregame show at 6:35 p.m. and the opening kickoff at 7 on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Wausau West Football on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Featherstone Cabinetry, the Wausau West Gridiron Club, K5 Construction, Rocket Industrial, and the Cloverbelt Credit Union. It's Wausau West and Heartland Arrowhead in a Division I Level 1 playoff. Friday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 on 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, the midterm elections might be a year away, but there is a sleeper issue out there that may be the key to Democrats winning. We'll discuss it next time. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome to the second hour of our program. On the line with us, our old buddy Phil Itner, the veteran war correspondent based out of Kyiv, Ukraine, and host of the On the Edge podcast. Philip Itner over on YouTube, Itner Philip on Blue Sky and X. Phil, welcome back to the program. How are things in Kyiv today?
Well, I have to slightly apologize to you, Tom. Not 5 minutes before I was about to sit down to prepare to talk to you, we lost all electricity. So I am running on battery power right now. As you will probably see, I'm not fully lit. The audio is a little bit off because I can't use my full microphone. About 2 days ago, we had a massive attack on the capital and other places around Ukraine as well. But it started at about 1 a.m. and went all through until, you know, the sun was up at, you know, and around 8 a.m., I think, was the last all clear. The Russians were clearly targeting the electrical grid because the mayor of Kyiv has come out and said, you know, be prepared for blackouts, be prepared for lack of water and heating, make sure that you have supplies. Clearly, the Russians are going to revert to what they have done in previous winters, and that is to starve the civilian population of essential necessities like electricity and heating and water. So if this is anything to go by, we can anticipate a rather difficult winter here in Ukraine.
Ouch. I'm so sorry to hear that. Wow. I wanted to talk to you about your podcast.
Yes.
I actually, the other day, I was looking for it on Apple Podcasts, and I was unable to find it. Tell me how to find
Right now, the best way is just to go to the YouTube. The audio version of things has been a little bit on the difficult side developing, but we just did an episode that I think is one of our best. Mm-hmm. And we sat down with, if not the most famous, then certainly one of the most famous stand-up comics in Ukraine, a gentleman by the name of Anton Timoshenko. And we developed the show to highlight among, you know, first and foremost, Ukrainian voices in their own voice, but also, you know, people who have a particularly unique insight into Ukraine. But Anton, because he works in the medium of stand-up, I think is one of our best episodes because the art form itself is so intimate and is, you know, based on observational comedy. They don't have stand-up in the former Russian Empire because, of course, holding up a mirror to society and the ruling elite and how you know the country is run and things like that, that's very dangerous for the Kremlin. That form of art where you reflect on how things are done and run, it's you know, you put your head over the parapet and you're likely to get it cut off. And this is another inflection point between Russia and Ukraine. Anton is very, very frank in his humor, and it's very dark humor, and it goes right up to pushing some boundaries, but nevertheless a very, very funny guy. Mm-hmm. And so we talked about this difference between Russia and Ukraine when it comes to freedom of speech and the ability to kind of poke fun at the ruling elite or to criticize anything that is, in, you know, happening in your country. And that's quite unusual in the former, you know, Russian Empire. You know, they don't have a Carlin or a Lenny Bruce or a Richard Pryor. That tradition doesn't exist. And so they're kind of building it by you know, from scratch here in Ukraine. And it's wonderful to see this growing audience for, even in the darkest of times, for guys like Anton to take to a stage with a microphone and sit down and joke about some very grim topics. But nevertheless, that allows people to release their tension and their trauma and laugh at the darkness, which is a defense mechanism. Yeah, I had to teach him the English term for gallows humor. He hadn't heard it before, but that's in essence what, and I have been to so many wars before that I know that even gallows humor, very dark humor, that maybe somebody who hasn't gone through the trauma wouldn't quite understand how can you laugh at such terrible things. But, you know, that's the job of a comedian, and he plays all around the country. And we even joke about the fact that, you know, he plays to a captive audience because they're all stuck in an air raid shelter.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is the kind of thing that I wanted to present with On the Edge. And, you know, we talk, obviously, to people from all around the world who have a particular interest. But we really want to highlight Ukrainian voices, because if we don't do that, if we don't present to the world a different version and their own version of themselves for Ukrainians, then Moscow certainly will. And that's what they've been doing. And Moscow has deeper pockets than Ukraine does when it comes to this sort of thing. So at On the Edge, our primary purpose is to humanize the people of Ukraine, to talk about this country, these people, as human beings, because Moscow would like to demonize them, would like to set boundaries and boxes so that support wanes for Ukraine. And that's what On the Edge is all about. And Anton Timoshenko does stuff in English as well. If you go and search him, if you go to On the Edge at YouTube, you will see his name. You will see links to his English language stuff. Yeah. He has toured North America and other English speaking places. And so that's our purpose. And I think last week's episode is one of our best. And if you do go watch it, I'm sure you will get an insight, maybe a couple laughs. And if you're kind enough to leave a comment or something, I know that really helps the algorithm, but it's one of our best steps.
And that's over on YouTube. You find it by looking for
best on YouTube. Easiest on YouTube.
How do you search for it?
Yeah. Just Philip Itner.
Philip Itner.
P-H-I-L-I-P-I-T-T-N-E-R.
N-E-R.
It has its own channel as well, but
yeah,
I put it on my personal one.
Yeah, I totally get you about, you know, dark humor during horrible times. In 1980, during the famine in Uganda, on the tail end of the war, you know, when the Tanzanians had invaded and thrown Idi Amin out, I went in on behalf of a German charity, and we had several thousand up in the Karamojong region. The Ugandan soldiers had fled, you know, to the north, and they had murdered all the men, raped all the women. There were all these pregnant women, and there was a famine going on. And it was me and this old Ethiopian priest. He was just a really old guy who had been working in Uganda for years. And he had a couple of what's the fruit that tastes like bubble gum? Passion fruit that were all shriveled up, mm-hmm. that he had been hoarding for weeks, and he split one with. He had two of them. He split one with me, and we were sitting there talking. We had actually earlier in the day had been burying people in a mass grave, and he said, you know, what do you get when you feed 1,000 starving Ugandans? And I was like, I don't know. And he says, 2,000 starving Ugandans. And he starts laughing, and then he just bursts into tears. And yeah. It's like, how do you deal with the horror, you know? And I completely get what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a very fine line, and it is, you know, and we say this when I'm speaking with Anton, is you have a choice. You either laugh or you cry, and if you start crying, you may never stop.
Yeah.
And so humor is, and you know, and people look at it, and I see the criticism sometimes of, like, how can these Ukrainians go out to cafes and bars and stuff when they're supposed to be suffering, or how can they laugh? It's a defense mechanism.
Yep.
It's a way to cope with the trauma that's all around you. And if you haven't been through that trauma, to criticize people who are desperately clinging to any kind of relief or normality is really disingenuous. And so that's why we really wanted to have Anton on. We're going to keep getting guests of that nature. And it's just, you know, I just think it's very important that we don't let Moscow make the narrative.
Yeah, I get it. So the podcast
world needs
is called,
to learn about Ukrainians from Ukrainians.
The podcast is called On the Edge with Phil Itner over on YouTube. Phil, I'm curious your thoughts on Donald Trump flip-flopping about Tomahawk missiles to Ukraine and flip-flopping on going to meet Putin. And now he's got this embargo on Lukoil and Rosneft, the two big oil companies that run about half all the oil out of Russia. And, now he's going to China. I think he's freaking out, frankly, because the Christmas season is coming and his tariffs are going to be jacking toy prices and stuff. But what's your take on all this? What do you think is going on?
Well, I think there's a number of things going on here, Tom. Either he is completely out of his depth, and his cabinet, and indeed most of his, you know, State Department, because he swept a lot of the Russia experts in his first term. Right. So he is either in way over his head and he doesn't know what he's doing, or he's complicit. And this is delay tactic, a song and dance, and also a delay tactic to keep things from ever actually really happening. Yeah. Is that you go one step this direction and then two steps that direction and then back the other way, all in an effort to basically do nothing. Yes, there's discussion of there's also discussion of him, clamping down on India and its imports of Russian fossil fuels, because in many ways, India has actually, to be perfectly honest, been a conduit as a third party to then siphon stuff back to countries that say they're adhering to sanctions.
Modi's been a big supporter of Putin, kind of on the side. We have just 30 seconds, by the way, Phil. Forgive my interrupting you. You were saying.
Yeah, no, but finally, I just think he doesn't know what he's doing. He thinks it's easier than it is, and he doesn't have the depth of knowledge, and frankly, neither does anybody on in his cabinet or in his government. Yeah. And it's very, very dangerous.
I think it's Dunning-Kruger syndrome, you know, the belief that you're an expert when you know nothing, as Bob Kennedy clearly also appears to have. Is dangerous, dangerous stuff. Phil Itner, the great Phil Itner, check out his On the Edge podcast over on YouTube, and this most recent one, really worth watching.
Not to be missed.
There you go. Phil, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Always great having you on. I so appreciate your perspective, and stay safe.
Thank you.
Yeah. 18 minutes past the hour. I'll be back with more of the news of the day. We'll have Dean Obidala, actually, at the bottom of the hour. Back with your calls in just a minute.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Stick around. We'll be right back. It's the Tom Hartman Program, exposing the con in conservative. We'll be back with you.
Right now, you can switch from cable television to satellite television for free. That's right. We're offering free equipment, free installation, plus get a free $100 prepaid Visa card. Call the satellite TV hotline right now. Make the switch from cable to satellite television and expand your viewing horizon. On top of free installation, for a limited time, we're offering a fixed price guarantee. With satellite TV, you'll save money over your expensive cable bill. Plus, get access to hundreds of channels. And when you call right now, you can also ask about our seniors and military discounts. So make the switch to satellite TV right now. Everybody gets free installation, free equipment, plus a $100 prepaid Visa card. Call right now and you can switch to satellite TV and be watching everything you wanted to within the next week. And remember, installation's free, so call right now. 800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. That's 800-942-1298.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 98.9 FM and 1230 AM.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Are you passionate about local high school sports? So are we. WXCO 98.9 FM is proud to be the only station in Wausau bringing you live, play-by-play coverage of high school sports, game after game, season after season. But we can't do it alone. We are currently seeking local sponsors and community partners who believe in the power of sports to bring people together, inspire youth, and energize our hometown pride. Promote your business, support our local athletes, be heard by thousands of loyal local listeners. If your business is interested in supporting live sports broadcasts while gaining valuable exposure, now is the perfect time to become a WXCO sports sponsor. Message us on our Facebook page or call or text our sales rep, Aaliyah, at 608-573-1597. That's 608-573-1597. Let's keep Wausau High School sports on the air together.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
They were it. That's the ballgame.
Adrian Klenz is executive director of the Center for Deafblind Persons. Those cuts, those programs would be rolled into something else. Is there a group deafblind children could be folded into?
There is no other program. Those seven individuals have the specialized training to help those with dual sensory loss. There's no one else in the state of Wisconsin that has that training.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com.
Out in the streets, we rise together. Voices strong will bend but never break. Justice calls us now, it's now or never. Our silence is a choice we can't afford to make. Show up for democracy, don't stand by. Raise your voice.
Indivisible.org, there's just a whole bunch of things happening this weekend that you can participate in, you can sign up for. They're rocking and rolling, these people. They're not slowing down. So
What's on your mind here? Sean in Rochester, New York. Hey, Sean, what's up?
Hello. Hey. First of all, great show as always.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So I just want to talk about a little bit about AOC.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of thinking, just in short term, before we get to the big national election, hopefully, could we squall the get the ground support, the political will to have her become the Speaker of the House and have Bernie Sanders become the Senate Majority Leader to start unraveling some of the damage?
Yeah. I'm all in favor of that. Absolutely all in favor of that. You know, in the Republican Great Depression kind of started in late 1929. In fact, by the way, there's kind of people out there going, warning, Will Rogers. Most serious recessions and every depression that we've had, the last one, started in late October, early November. And so, I'm not offering investment advice here, but hang on to your hat. My point was that after the last great crash, after the Republican Great Depression in 1933, the election in 1932, Republicans didn't regain power other than one two-year period, 1946-47. Other than that, from 1933 all the way up to 1996, I mean, 60 years, the Republicans did not control the House of Representatives, other than that one little two-year period. And I think we might be on the verge of something like that again, Sean, given the damage that this guy's doing, particularly if he crashes the economy, which I fully expect to happen. What say you?
I hope that doesn't happen, but, you're probably right. So, and I guess I would like to see the Democratic National Committee take the focus. If Greg Abbott's going to add 10 more seats in Texas, well, we have to fill those 10 seats with progressives.
Yep.
And we kind of have to look at like the Maxwell Frost and the Danica Romes on a state level even, and see how they won their campaign and negotiated around the Citizens United nonsense that's kind of plagued us.
Well, the thing that progressives can do on the left is what the MAGA people do on the right, which is speak their truth, speak it loudly. Defy the conventional wisdom. Don't be afraid of the normies, as it were. Just get out there and tell the truth. Sean, thanks a lot for the call. Spot on. On the other side of this break, Dean Obadala is going to join me, and then I'll get back to your phone call. So stay with us. It is 27 minutes past the hour, and it's the Tom Hartman Program, the place where smart people get their news. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Defending America from the weapons of mass deception. I'll be right back with your calls. Dr. Jonathan Greenberg is here with us today. He's one of the leading sleep doctors in our country, biomedical engineer, and he's the inventor of Zyppa, Z-Y-P-P-A-H, or Happy Z spelled backwards. So tell me, Doc, what actually causes people to snore?
You know, Tom, that's a great question, and thanks for having me. Snoring is all about the tongue. When you go to sleep, your muscles relax. Your tongue is one of the biggest, strongest muscles in the body. And so when you fall asleep, your tongue relaxes. And then, of course, when you're lying on your back, gravity is pushing the tongue backwards. Same thing with alcohol. Alcohol is a muscle relaxant. We all know that. So, again, we drink alcohol, it gets worse. And then the last item that kind of really punctuates this is I didn't snore when I was younger, but as I'm getting older, now I'm snoring, or my wife is snoring, my husband is snoring. And again, what happens when we get older? We lose muscle tone. So everything points to the fact that it's all about the tongue. We keep the tongue from falling back, and we win.
Amazing. So Zyppa, your invention, has a 91% success rate. Why is it that Zyppa is so much better at stopping snoring than pretty much anything else?
Since it's all about the tongue, what we created was what I call a seatbelt for the tongue. It's a silicone strap that keeps the tongue from falling back. So just like a seatbelt, if you're behaving, no big deal. You don't even notice it's there. But if the tongue starts misbehaving, going to the back of the throat, where it'll start to block the airway, cause snoring, that's when the tongue strap is going to be in its way, it won't be able to do it. And that's why we have that great success rate. Go to our website. It's zyppah.com, Z-Y-P-P-A-H.com, which is happy Z spelled backwards because it's happy sleep. And we're going to donate $10 to the Susan G. Komen Fund for the research.
That's marvelous. Dr. Greenberg, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Go to zyppah.com and use that code PINK today, or text PINK to 511-511.
Offhand comments from the president have sent cattle prices in a spiral over the past week. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. President Trump said he was considering importing beef from Argentina. And now that we're a week past that slip of the tongue, we'll hear from a Wisconsin cattle producer about how market prices have settled.
When you're running a farm, you don't have time to chase every headline. That's why the Midwest Farm Report app keeps you plugged in without slowing down. It's quick, it's free, and it's built for the folks who feed the world. Stay updated on Wisconsin agriculture and food production. Message the Midwest Farm Report team directly. Catch your favorite farm podcasts and share what's happening on your land. Keep up with rural life. Download the Midwest Farm Report app today, available on Apple and Android.
Past Wisconsin Cattlemen's Association President Brady Zook out of Ladysmith says the U.S. beef industry is feeling the ripple effects of recent news about Argentine beef imports. While feeder cattle futures dropped about $9 immediately after that announcement, Brady tells us the cash market has held steady.
The interesting point, I think, is that if you look at the cash trade in the sale barns, right, for feeder cattle and also the trade in the country for fat cattle, has held very steady and in spots actually increased. So kind of a tale of two cities there, where the futures market, which is ultra sensitive to news media pieces, like the one that was released Thursday night, right? Futures market were extremely hammered, which we rely upon for risk management, but the cash market's held pretty steady here. And that's based on the supply and demand of cattle that are available.
Brady Zook, along with us, a beef producer out of Ladysmith and past president of the Wisconsin Cattlemen's Association. He tells us beef is currently at the top end of a 10-year cycle and in a strong position overall, but he does worry about foreign countries influencing U.S. markets. We'll take a look at how the grain trade is moving after this.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game.
Hey, he's wearing a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt.
Of course, Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn beats the competition's yields by 7.7 bushels an acre.
All right, here's the kick.
It's good!
Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
From Chicago, December new crop corn is up a penny at $4.24 a bushel. November new crop soybeans up 4¾ cents at $10.39.5. Cash wheat is trading up a nickel and a quarter at $5.09 a bushel. And July 2026 new crop wheat up 4¾ cents at $5.46 a bushel. The Class 3 milk contracts are also trading higher, with November milk up 13 cents, trading at $17.27 a hundredweight. The December contract up 15 cents at $16.65. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Don't miss any of the stories that impact your life. Catch WXCO's local news roundup in podcast form. Go to WXCO.fm to subscribe.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Your Thursday afternoon will feature a few sprinkles, some clouds, and highs in the mid-40s. Northwest winds just a bit breezy. In the overnight, skies turning partly cloudy. Temperatures will drop back into the mid-20s. Quite a bit of sunshine Friday. Highs near 50. It's 42 at our studios.
Matt Nair on air.
Attorney General Pam Bondi said that they had arrested the girlfriend of the head of Antifa. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I am the head of Antifa.
You are?
And yes, and I think my wife turned in my girlfriend. So,
oh, you're in trouble now, Troy.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Share the Tom Hartman program with your friends. Our podcast, The Hartman Report, is absolutely free and available wherever fine podcasts are available. And the entire 3-hour podcast is available over at TomHartman.com.
What?
what if I told you most collagen products aren't just a waste of money? They're loaded with toxins that could lead to skin issues, heart problems, even cognitive decline. Scary, but it's true. See, collagen is the most abundant protein in your body, and your natural supply drops as you age. That's why so many people your age are turning to collagen to relieve joint pain, rebuild bones, and even look years younger. But here's the catch. You have to know what to look for, or you could end up doing more harm than good. So before you buy another tub from Amazon or your local store, go check out the top five collagen warnings every American needs to see, along with a special offer. It's a quick read that could save your health and your wallet. And right now, I can get you a special bundle deal at a fraction of the retail price, plus free shipping at getnativepath.com/Hartman. That's get, G-E-T, native, path, P-A-T-H, .com/Hartman, H-A-R-T-M-A-N-N, to get that special bundle deal at a fraction of the retail price plus free shipping and the top five collagen warnings. GetNativePath.com/Hartman.
They bend the rules, they break the laws, turn truth to air and chain the clocks. Elections rigged, the voices drown. Once they rise, they don't come down. Once they're in, they never leave. They
song about dictators here. Welcome back. 36 minutes past the hour. On the line with us is our buddy Dean Obidala, the host of the Dean Obidala Show, weekdays right here on Sirius XM Progress Channel 127, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, his Substack newsletter, The Dean's Report. Just plug into any search engine, Dean's Report, and boom, it pops right up. It is free, and you can subscribe to it any old time you'd like. I would suggest doing it right now. Dean, welcome back to the program. I love your, here's today's article. So here's how the next Democratic president could repurpose Trump's ballroom from a museum of Trump's crimes to the Epstein ballroom. And I know Lincoln Project, you and I were talking about this last night on your program, the Epstein ballroom.
Well, first of all, Tom, thanks for having me on. Second of all, so I wrote a new article for Substack, and it is satirical. All right. A lot of people are not getting that in the comments. My fellow Democrats, you need a sense of humor sometime. I'm telling you, some people get it, but others like, no, this is tough. We can't do this. Look, I would like to see first idea with the Donald Trump Crime and Corruption Museum. You're going to need more than 90,000 feet, though, for that, Tom. And you would have elements of exhibits could be like Trump's courtroom sketches, the indictments, the jury questionnaire when they found him guilty, that kind of stuff, which I would love that. I mean, that's one of my highlights. The other was either the Jeffrey Epstein ballroom or the Epstein, Ghislaine and Maxwell multipurpose room, where it's a salute to their friendship with Donald Trump and some interactive exhibits. I propose, like, you could actually have Trump saying, "I wasn't on the Lolita Express," and then kids can play with the plane and show that how many times he was on it, at least 8 times, and where he flew together. So that's the point of the article over and over. Obviously, there's a comedic quality, and to me, do I think a Democratic president should get in there and tear it down and return it? Possibly, but I have to see where we are as a nation at the time when a Democratic president gets in. That could be low down the list. Like, you know, saving our democracy and our freedoms is on the top of the list. Rebuilding the East Wing is later in the process.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you've seen the pictures, but Midas Touch has been posting them. I just reposted it over on Blue Sky. If you want to easily find it, just look at my timeline. But the drawing that Trump has, you know, the rendering that he has of the ballroom, is identical to the grand ballroom in the Winter Palace in St. Petersburg, Russia. I mean, identical, right down to two chandeliers with two layers to the chandeliers and double Roman columns all along the sides. And I mean, it's identical. It's shocking.
The architect for the project is the Putin and Putin company.
Yeah,
so
no doubt.
Putin architecture were the ones that drew the thing. And it is right on the nose. It's remarkable to me. To me, as I note in my article, the serious points of the article, there are two parts that are not in any way shocking. But still, we have to push back. One is that Donald Trump lied to the American people. In July, he said, I love that building. It's my favorite building. Now, yesterday, we're going to tear the entire East Wing down. And he says, I never thought much of it. And Donald Trump brags about being a construction expert forever. He knew the whole building had to come down. That is why they didn't give the plans in advance, actually schematics and drawings. It was going to have to come down. Second is Durand corruption. I mean, look, it's already over $100,000, $100 million over budget. Tom, they said in July it would be $200 million. Trump said yesterday $300 million. This is like a mafia-constructed casino in Atlantic City when they were building for Trump. I mean, they're padding the invoices already, Donald Trump, and we know he's going to profit somehow. I'm not sure exactly how yet, but himself or his children will profit from this personally. We got to figure out how, though.
Yeah. Dean, I have a lawyer question for you. I mentioned on the air the other day that I was looking forward to when you came back on the show so I could ask you. A federal judge in Illinois ruled that ICE officers, if they broke the law, could be arrested. Does that mean that state courts can enforce that? Does that mean that J.B. Pritzker could have the state police arrest ICE officers, or that Mayor Johnson could have Chicago PD? And I'd love to see this as an episode of Chicago PD arrest ICE officers. Or does that, you know, and is that being appealed, or does that only apply to federal officers like the FBI? I mean, how does that work?
Well, look, in general, I think people understand that police officers, federal or local, have a certain degree of immunity for certain actions, right?
So that's qualified immunity. Yeah.
Right. So you've got that one bucket there. But a federal officer has to adhere to the speeding laws in a state when they're doing their job. They're not immune from speeding. If they go into a liquor store and knock over a liquor store, they're not immune from that. If they're doing things outside of the scope of their work, there's no doubt, zero doubt, they could be charged for crimes, state crimes, and prosecuted there. Their defense is going to come if they're charged for doing something that truly is within the scope of their work as a federal agent, and then they go overboard, like excessive force and something along those lines. Hmm. Do they have immunity or not? They'll be able to assert it in a court, and a court will have to determine it's valid or not. But if they're going outside of the scope of their work, Tom, and just tackling people left and right, and assaulting people and beating people excessively, just like the police department, you can sue them for excessive force. There are certain protections they have. Criminally, the same thing. So look, it's going to come down case by case. That's really what it's going to be. But if they're clearly doing things outside of the scope of their federal employment and what they're doing as an agent, there is zero doubt they can be charged. If they just shoot me for no reason, they can be charged for murder. There's no defense. That has nothing to do with their ICE activities. Right. Again, you know, lock over a bank, they'll be charged for that, or a liquor store. There's no doubt. The immunity really only applies if it's very specific to their work as a federal officer that's within the scope of it undisputedly. So it's going to be push and pull. I mean, it's going to be case by case. That's the truth.
Yeah, I get it. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that. Do you expect that Pritzker or Johnson, or for that matter, you know, any of the other governors who are pushing back on this, will start trying to take ICE officers into custody?
I think they should charge them. I saw assaults online. Mm-hmm. I saw assaults here in New York. I saw my friend Kat Abagazzelli, who's running for Congress in Illinois, where the ICE officer, she's a small, diminutive woman. She's 26. They just grabbed her, threw her to the ground.
Yeah.
They should go to the police. They should file a complaint and let it be litigated. Let it go to the criminal court.
How do you know which officer to hold responsible if they're all concealing their identities?
Well, I have to be honest. Most crimes, we don't know the identity of the assailant. People get mugged all the time in New York City, and we don't know the identity of the assailant. We don't give up on it. What you do is you say, that person worked here, and this was their shift. The police go in and say, let's see all the employment records of this time. Then you narrow people down based on body type and height. It's on video.
Right.
You can look at the person. Even though you can't see their face, you can see their eyes. And other employees, other ICE agents who are actually patriotic might turn them in. Mm-hmm. If given an opportunity. But that's not really an obstacle. Like in today's day and age with video, you can figure out who they are. That's not a problem. I say charge them and let them defend themselves in court.
Yeah. I'm also over on deanobidala.substack.com on the Dean's Report, your newsletter. And this is what we originally booked you on. We need a brain scan of Trump to objectively determine if he has dementia. I thought this was brilliant.
I think so, too. I don't know what was not more popular. But I'm just looking at the likes of the article because I talked to Dr. John Gartner, who's a psychologist, a couple of weeks ago from Duty to Warn. And I said, is there an objective test we can use to determine if Donald Trump or anyone has dementia or Alzheimer's, as opposed to the subjective ones where Trump's doctor tells him he's fine and they're lying to us? And he said a brain scan, either a CT scan or an MRI. And I did some research. And there's really good studies that show, together with AI tools, it is very diagnostic in terms of a lot of confidence in that you'll see actually dead parts of the brain if you did a brain scan. So, yeah, I think they should do it. It's painless. It's short period of time. And if Trump did it, we would know once and for all. He would rule it out or tell us the man has dementia and potentially even Alzheimer's. And we should know that. We should know that the president is competent. If not, everything he does, Tom, is arguably questionably legal and potentially invalid, to be honest. And the worst case scenario, Stephen Miller is going to run the administration even more. And J.D. Vance are going to run this government even more than they're doing. They give the guy a cheeseburger, Trump, he signs anything he wants. Diet Coke, here you go, sign it. Okay, done.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. It's pretty wild. We're talking with Dean Obidala, my colleague and host of the Dean Obidala Show, weekdays 6 to 9 p.m. right here on Sirius XM Radio Channel 127, Progress Channel. Dean, what's at the top of your list of things that we should all be paying attention to or doing in this difficult moment?
There's so many, Tom. My mind jumps to things from, you know, in the Middle East with the Knesset and Israel just voting to annex the West Bank again. And J.D. Vance actually saying he found it personally insulting. And I think he does because they insulted Joe Biden when he was vice president. Obama sent them over and they announced new expansion of settlements. That was a decade ago. So that's part of it. The settler violence in the West Bank. So my mind was on that before we talked. Domestically, look at the amazing protest. The No Kings protest was remarkable. 7+ million people. We're getting to 3.5%. Not that that's the bottom. That's absolutely the number you need to effectuate change. But we are getting there. People are getting engaged. And I agree, Tom, you made this point on my show last night. We are likely at a turning point. And we're going to know it more in retrospect. But I think Jimmy Kimmel getting him reinstated. Republicans now, I just saw a letter of 100 Republicans in the House standing up to Trump on cuts to the community grants for small businesses. That's kind of interesting. We didn't see that before. You've got the people in the streets and turning this march into a movement. It's happening little by little. And let's see going forward. Staying engaged. Stay in the fight. We can win this. We've got two big elections, three elections coming up in 2 weeks in New York, New Jersey, and Virginia, and then the midterms, which are our Battle of Gettysburg. We have to win it.
Yeah, 3 weeks from now, we're going to see, or you know, 2 weeks maybe, you know, in the early November elections. It's going to be a huge bellwether.
Yeah, very much.
It really is. Dean Obidala, check out his newsletter, his Substack over on the Dean's Report. Just, you know, Google it wherever you go. It's just super. Dean, thanks again for dropping by.
Thanks, my friend. Have a great day.
You too.
To Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
47 minutes past the hour. Back with your calls on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The North Carolina legislature passed a new gerrymandered congressional map October 22nd, likely adding a GOP congressional seat to offset expected 2026 midterm losses in the U.S. House. Legislators diluted black voting power to do it, but say it was for partisan reasons. The map likely gives Republicans an 11-3 advantage in a purple state where President Trump won by only 3.3% in 2024. State leaders went out of their way to say it was manipulated to help maintain GOP control of the U.S. House. State Senator Ralph Hayes said, "The motivation behind this redraw is simple and singular. Draw a new map that will bring an additional Republican seat to the congressional delegation." Why admit the cheating? The U.S. Supreme Court's Rucho decision said gerrymandering for partisan reasons was a state political matter, not a matter for the federal courts. For the moment, racial gerrymandering is still illegal under the Voting Rights Act, so the deliberate admission of partisan gerrymandering helps to create an alibi when the case reaches federal court. The new map changed only Congressional District 1, a currently competitive Northeast district where black Congressman Don Davis won by 2%. A North Carolina Black Alliance analysis shows it shifted 8% of black voters into adjoining, redder districts, diluting black voting power and tilting District 1 Republican. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice. Oh.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. Hey, if you're a homeowner, you need to listen to this. In today's AI and cyber world, scammers are stealing home titles and your equity is their target. Here's how it works. Criminals forge your signature on one document, use a fake notary stamp, pay a small fee to your county, and bang, just like that, your home has been transferred out of your name. Then they take out loans using your equity or even sell your property, and you won't even know it's happened till you get a collection or foreclosure notice. So when's the last time you checked on your home's title? If your answer is never, you need to do something about it right now. That's why I partnered with Home Title Lock, so you can find out today if you're already a victim. Just go to HometitleLock.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, and you get a free title history report and a free trial of their $1 million triple lock protection. That's 24/7 monitoring of your title, urgent alerts to any changes, and if fraud does happen, they'll spend up to $1 million to fix it. Find out why I trust Home Title Lock. Protect yourself like Louise and I did. Go to HometitleLock.com/Tom, T-H-O-M. That's HometitleLock.com/Tom. He came down. Welcome back. 53 minutes past the hour. Picking up your calls here, Lowell in Salem, Oregon. Hey, Lowell, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. I have an idea on how to fix food stamps from a perspective of the population.
Okay.
We currently have a heavily means-tested system that cuts off assistance as soon as you save any money or even have any assets.
Right, or get a job, a better job.
And as you know, the problem with means testing is you spend more money to means test than you do just to give the benefits out.
Right, this is why we don't means test Social Security. The reason why Republicans always want means testing is because it basically kills programs. That's how they're going to gut Medicaid, is by means testing it.
More aggressively, right, every 6 months instead of once a year.
But the problem is Democrats also support means testing on these programs as well.
Sadly.
So, and, you know, my hope, like with the New Mexico Democrats proposing that universal child care, was that Democrats would, that means testing mind virus might have finally broken.
Yeah, because the New Mexico plan does not have means testing.
Right, and that's the first time I've seen that. They called it unicorns and rainbows when we proposed it under Bernie.
Right, and Republicans are already out in New Mexico running around yelling, saying, "Oh, they're trying to subsidize rich people!" Like it's so rich that right. No pun intended, that Republicans would say such a thing.
But my idea for food stamps, and one of the problems with food stamps is you have desperate people making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 who need assistance as well. Complaining about people making less who do get assistance because right. they also need, or, you know, and this is the problem with breaking up your society like that, you know. Yeah. And my idea is to give food stamp cards to everyone and give them enough amount to be able to buy organic foods for every meal, which would be a significant benefit for all of those people in those, just outside of the means testing zones.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the problem, is you make one extra dollar, you lose $10 in food stamps.
Yeah.
People just never can get out of that trap.
But there's a line to be drawn, Lowell. On the one hand, you've got programs like Social Security, Medicare, National Healthcare System, Free College, that should never be means tested. They should simply be part of the commons. On the other hand, you've got programs that are designed specifically for people who are in extreme poverty. And you don't want those programs to be swamped by basically people in the middle class using them as ways to augment their income. You know, free food, for example, would fall into that category.
On the other hand, you can have a tax back at the end.
Well, I'm just not sure how necessary. Where I was going with this is when I was a little kid and my dad used to take us to the cheese store, the surplus food store. I don't recall him. Mm-hmm. Now, he may well have had to qualify for that. He might have had to go through. This was like 1955,
yeah,
right?
We had to qualify for it, yeah.
I'm not sure, because we just walked in, got what we wanted, and walked out. I mean, I just, and food banks generally don't ask people, what their income is. I mean, it's entirely possible that these programs would work just, you'd have an occasional cheater, but if you've got, say, 3 or 4% cheating, but your cost for means testing is 5 or 6%, then putting up with the cheating is a good deal. So but I'd love to see some good research done on that. What are the programs where means testing is absolutely inappropriate or even backfires, and beyond the common stuff, housing is another category.
And also realize that the economic benefit of food stamps is far greater than a dollar. So I believe it's $1.64 for every dollar.
Yeah, almost $2. So every dollar of food stamps that are distributed, you get almost $2 worth of local economic activity because they buy things.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're stimulating the economy.
That's correct. Lowell, I got to run, but thanks for the call. Well said. It's a great conversation. Thank you so much. We'll be back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Quince has the kind of fall staples you'll actually want to wear on repeat, like 100% Mongolian cashmere from just $60, classic fit denim, and real leather and wool outerwear that looks sharp and holds up. By partnering directly with ethical factories and top artisans, Quince cuts out the middlemen to deliver premium quality at half the cost of similar brands. I have several sweaters from Quince. I love them. I find them affordable and fashionable. They're part of my go-to wardrobe and have held up super well. And Quince has really become a go-to across the board. Louise has been checking out their bedding and travel accessories. Layer up this fall with pieces that feel as good as they look. Go to quince.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's Quince.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, Free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Cindy Greening is with Chippewa Valley Indivisible. Maybe I missed the meeting notices. Have you been to these Antifa meetings, and did you get your George Soros check and I just missed it? I get a feeling this is more like regular Americans than paid agitators.
Nobody's getting paid. They're there out of their commitment and love for this country. We want to stand for it, bring back the values where everyone is taken care of and included.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. An NBA head coach and player are among those charged in what authorities say were sprawling schemes to rig sports betting and poker games. Mafia families, too, were said to be involved. CBS's Jake Rosen.
When the federal government brings cases like these with 30-plus people involved, 4-plus different Cosa Nostra or mob families involved, it certainly seems very likely that this case is almost airtight.
Angry protests in San Francisco over the deployment of federal forces. San Francisco's mayor then claimed he spoke to President Trump and Trump was calling off plans for a federal deployment. And Trump has just announced on social media he will not surge in San Francisco on Saturday. He said the mayor asked very nicely. The average rate on the 30-year mortgage fell to its lowest level in more than a year. On Wall Street at this hour, stocks are higher. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.